But nowadays, it's tucked into the back of the little neighborhood, and I think people view it as more of a private location.
Mm.
But it actually isn't.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. May still be torn and tattered.
To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States.
Hello, this is Pamela Badilla, your neighbor from Data Data International Folkloric Theater, and you're listening to your radio station, WGXC, Acre, New York, hands-on community radio for Columbia and Greene County. Enjoy.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of FET Press in Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Give thanks to the workers and food to the hungry. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast, Lines. Lines at food pantries stretch block after block through urban neighborhoods. In suburban and rural America, lines of cars are miles long as people suffering from hunger and food insecurity, many for the first time, wait hours for a box of groceries. Lines at COVID-19 testing sites grow as the contagion spreads exponentially, with over 1 million infections per week in the United States alone. 9 months into the pandemic, and still we lack enough testing. Despite the risks of travel and large family gatherings, long lines dominate airport security checkpoints and crowded terminal gates. The TSA reports more than 3 million people passed through U.S. airports last weekend, the highest number since mid-March. This amidst an explosion in COVID-19 infections, hospitalizations, and deaths. Morgues in some cities are overflowing, as public health officials pleading with people to stay home this Thanksgiving. The pandemic confines us all, together yet apart, laying bare systemic racism, widening inequality, and fundamental flaws in our systems of governance. All of us have to eat. Yet here in the United States, the wealthiest nation in history, many are going hungry.
We always talk about COVID as being the great unveiling of the inequalities in America.
That's Professor Raj Patel. He studies the global food system at the University of Texas, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
But when you hear about 40% of American households experiencing food insecurity of some kind, that's a new record, and it's a very dark one to be breaking.
In an October report, Feeding America, a national nonprofit organization that tracks hunger, estimates 50 million people in the U.S. will suffer food insecurity as a result of the pandemic. The report notes, quote, "Since the crisis began, food banks have faced a perfect storm that includes surges in demand, declines in food donations due to supply chain challenges, fewer available volunteers, and other disruptions," unquote. Children are especially vulnerable, especially the millions who rely on meals provided at schools now closed or offering only limited attendance. Just last month, a federal court struck down a Trump administration policy that would have thrown up to 700,000 off the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP, in the midst of the pandemic. While promising news has emerged in recent weeks on prospective vaccines against COVID-19, the prospect of a vaccination in 6 or 9 months doesn't put food on the table. President Donald Trump's response? He tweets conspiracy theories incessantly and he golfs. And by challenging public health regulations, he imposes herd immunity on the entire population, allowing the coronavirus to rip through the country unimpeded. Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell gave the Senate Thanksgiving week off. New York Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez responded,
"Our country is going hungry on the week before Thanksgiving, and the Senate broke. I don't care what party you are. It is an abandonment of our responsibilities."
While food isn't getting to millions who need it, the workers who produce our food also face enormous risks during the pandemic. Many of these frontline workers, from farm workers to delivery people to those who stock grocery store shelves and deliver groceries, have contracted COVID-19. They don't have the luxury of working from home. Workers in meatpacking plants have suffered some of the nation's worst COVID-19 outbreaks. In the spring, when the coronavirus was raging through meatpacking plants across the country, President Trump ordered the plants to remain open. Workers, many from immigrant communities and also from multi-generational households, were forced to work in close quarters, often with minimal personal protective equipment, no social distancing, and virtually no testing. A recent study from Columbia University concluded that meatpacking plants, as of July 21st, were the source of up to 300,000 COVID-19 cases and up to 5,200 deaths nationally, primarily through community spread from workers infected in the plants. Sadiqa Buljic, Reburino Garcia, Jose Ayala Jr., and Isidro Fernandez worked at Tyson Foods' pork processing plant in Waterloo, Iowa. All died between April and May of complications from COVID-19. In a lawsuit the families filed against Tyson Foods, they make the astounding allegation that, quote, plant manager Tom Hart organized a cash buy-in, winner-take-all betting pool for supervisors and managers to wager how many plant employees would test positive for COVID-19, unquote. Ultimately, at least 6 people died and over 1,000 became infected. Tyson has suspended Hart and at least one other manager while ordering an investigation. Mel Orchard, an attorney for the families, told the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier, "It's not going to change what happened. These people are gone. But can we prevent future deaths?" he asked. The answer is a coordinated federal response at every level, with free testing, tracing, and equitable vaccine distribution. As for this weekend, spend Thanksgiving at home if you can. Remember those who provide our food, often at great risk, and extend solidarity and support to those in need. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Masaru Makati is reporting for the Times Union. Columbia County has added a translation function to its website following months of persistent advocacy by the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. Brian McCormick, executive director of CCSM, said, and I quote, "The general issue for our community is that they don't have equal access to services, not only because of immigration status, but specifically because of language access," end quote. According to a review by the Times Union, the only other counties in the capital region with translation functions on their websites are Albany and Schenectady. The function allows content to be translated into more than 100 languages and is powered by Google Translate. McCormick said that with the implementation of the Green Light Law, undocumented immigrants can now obtain driver's license, making the gap between those with and without access to information and communication more pronounced countywide. Many Department of Motor Vehicle Services have shifted online during the coronavirus pandemic, leaving residents on their own. Previously, sanctuary volunteers provided in-person interpretation at the Warren Street DMV. McCormick said, and I quote, "It's really denying equal access to that information and road safety for not only undocumented applicants, but also everybody else on the road," end quote. The translation function has not only given county residents equal access to information, it has also allowed for a more efficient workflow in the county clerk's office. Columbia County Clerk Holly Tanner said there have been fewer missed appointments and confusion about services or documents required in the short time since the translation function has been added. The sanctuary movement is continuing to work, planning to take its language justice campaign to other institutions in Columbia County, especially law enforcement. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News is reporting American Airlines will not return to New York Stewart International Airport. The airline suspended its flights in October as it awaited aid from the Federal Payroll Support Program, but the company has determined service to and from Stewart Airport was not, and I quote, "financially viable for the foreseeable future," end quote. Spokesman Brian Metham said for that reason, American will not be returning to Stewart, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, or New Haven, Connecticut. Metham said the decision to terminate the service was difficult. American Airlines was the first commercial carrier to provide regularly scheduled service to Stewart in April 1990. When American began its commercial runs from Stewart, it operated routes to Chicago and Raleigh-Durham. In the following years, both of those routes were terminated. When America merged with U.S. Airways, it continued the Stewart to Philadelphia route until the COVID-19 pandemic crippled the travel industry early in 2020. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Diane Valden is reporting for the Columbia paper, the Ancrumtown Board, November 19th, the same night it voted unanimously to solarize Ancrum, considered a request from the Copag Town Board to support a resolution detailing its opposition to the construction of Hegates Energy's Shepherd's Run solar project in Caryville. Ancrum Zoning Revisions Committee member Steve Oliha objected to specific language in the resolution. He said the statement, and I quote, "The installation of Shepherd's Run would destroy the property value of homes situated adjacent to the installation," end quote, is not accurate. He said, and I quote, "We've got to do something. Whatever we do is going to cause somebody pain, but we need to accept some pain for doing the right thing for the broader community," end quote. Board member Bonnie Hunt said, and I quote, "We have to support COPEC," end quote. "The developers are," and I quote, "putting it on prime farmland. I think it's too big," end quote. Board member Madeline Israel agreed, calling the project, and I quote, "massive," end quote. As a compromise, Ancrum Supervisor Art Basin proposed the board only adopt the portion of the resolution calling on Governor Andrew Cuomo, the state Senate, and the state assembly, and I quote, "to adopt legislation that would meet the challenges of climate change without violating home rule and local zoning powers, and which would more fairly distribute the responsibility of confronting climate change among all communities throughout the state instead of placing the entire burden on small rural communities," end quote. The board voted unanimously in favor of the amended resolution. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday should be sunny with a high near 47 and a low around 30. Monday, there are periods of rain predicted. There's a 100% chance of rain with a high near 52 and a low around 49 with more rain Monday night. Showers are likely again on Tuesday. There's a 60% chance with a high near 52 and a low around 32. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson Radio for Open Ears.
Hello, you wonderful people. It's your host. And this week, I am going to just update you. So I wasn't here last week due to it being the end of the marking period. The end of the quarter, I believe, for school. And I had to get work in. So, you know, I had to obviously prioritize school or else I ought to be a hypocrite speaking on these issues of school during Corona. So I got those done. All the assignments, pretty good start so far. Also, another update, I switched my math class because the math class I was in, it just wasn't for me. The teacher realized I wasn't doing the best in it. And he was just like, what's going on? Like, you're a smart kid. Like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm just not interested in the class. He was like, I figured that because you're pretty smart. So I don't see why you should be, you know, doing not so good in my class. So then I said, like, you know, I'd rather use math. I'm going to use in real life. So he suggested a math class for me, which I'm loving so far. It's like real life math, you know, like taxes, how to find the taxes and stuff like that so far. And I'm enjoying that. I'm doing pretty good. I joined, like, obviously, like, 2 months late because of the period. But, like, I get it. So it's not hard for me right now. And my other classes, I'm doing pretty good in right now. So I think this is going to be a decent school year grade-wise for me. I'm right here with Phoebs. If you want to say what's up.
Hey, everyone. Good to be on.
Good to have you here. I did a YOLO. For those of you who may be new, YOLO is a polling app where you can post it on your Snapchat, social media, or wherever. Not wherever, I'm sorry. It's exclusive to Snapchat. And you can make a post, and everyone who sees your post can interact with it and participate in the poll. And I asked two questions. Do you think online schooling is pulling your grades down? And the other question was, share a funny online school experience. So these are going to be, like, mixed because I didn't really go in and organize them, but that's okay. This is real life, so.
Mix it up. No, yeah. Get a little laughter. Serious, like, laugh a little bit.
Yeah. So under the question, do you think school is pulling your grades down, someone said up. So I'm going to assume they mean it's bringing their grades up, online schooling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like there are some people, right, that it's like, this works better for me. I can, like, focus in my room, like, not distracted.
Definitely.
So.
It's different for everyone. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. This one says, online schooling is definitely pulling our grades down. This isn't about learning anymore. It's about passing, all just a number. Yeah, I can relate to that. Like, that's how I'm feeling right now. Like I said a few weeks ago, it's really not about learning anymore at this point. And it's kind of frustrating knowing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one is, what songs are getting you through this pandemic? Someone said, any lo-fi vibe songs. Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray, Vaughn, and female grunge singers from the 90s.
That's interesting. Yeah.
We are going to have to get into some of that later in this podcast. Okay. Do you think online school is putting grades down? Someone said yes. This one is, share a funny online experience from school. Someone logged into my school account and submitted pictures of the 6th grade ELA teacher as my geometry homework.
Oh no.
That is funny. I'm not gonna lie, that's funny. They submitted pictures to the sixth grade teacher as their geometry homework. That's okay. I can imagine what the teacher thought. Like, what is this? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's too much. It's, like, weird enough to be like, was that just a mistake? I don't even know.
Yeah. Do you think online schooling is bringing your grades down? Someone said, think I'm not going. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot there was another part to that question. It's, do you think online schooling is pulling our grades down? And are you scared of going to college because of the grades caused by online schooling? And someone said, I think I'm not going. Ha, ha. So I'm pretty sure they mean they're not going to college. They think they're not going to college.
Mm-hmm.
That's your choice. Yeah. No judgment. No stigma.
There's many ways. For me. Yeah. Do the thing.
Yeah. You don't have to go to college to be successful in life. Plenty of people don't.
Absolutely not. Yep.
I know a lot of parents who didn't go to college. Mm-hmm. Many of them are single mothers. They're doing pretty good in life.
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
Don't let that get to you and have everyone say, I think you should go to college. Don't let that get to you.
Mm-hmm. It's about doing what you're passionate about.
Yeah.
Like, period. And, like, simple. Maybe college is a pathway where that's going to, like, help you get there. And maybe it's going to slow you down.
Yeah.
Like, you got to know for yourself what the right path is. And also, like, not, we kind of get told, I feel, a lot of times that everything in life has to be linear. It's like, you go to high school, and you graduate, and then you go to college, and then you graduate, and then you get your first internship, and then you get a, it's like, blow, you know, you can, like, blow that up a little bit, too. Take some time, work,
yeah, definitely.
See some things, and you can go back to school. It's always there.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you don't have to go right after high school if you don't want to. Like, mm-hmm. I know a lot of adults who are going to school now. So.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, like, I've heard a lot of people who've chosen to take gap years say they're really happy about it, that it, like, helped them mature more and, like, clarify what they want. So then when they went to college, they were, like, more serious about it and, like,
ready for that. I feel like most of the high schoolers now need that because a lot of them are, like, they're, like, coming from this environment that's not, like, it's not, like, a solid foundation. Like, they're not really ready for college. Like, they, like, the school claims their goodness. Ready for college, but they're really not. Like, come on.
I struggled. Oh, my goodness. I was, like, those first few months, it was striking. Because, like, I did well for my high school, you know? I was like, yeah. And then it was, like, my writing skills needed so much improvement, like, just reading level, you know? And, like, I got there. You adapt. But, like, yeah, it can be a process. That's real.
Yeah. My older brother, he took a gap year after he graduated. He's... I think his last year of high school, not high school. I think his last year of college is next year. It might be this. It's not this year. I think it's next year. So, and he's doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yep. Lots of pathways. Yeah. So,
don't feel rushed to go to college right after high school. Like, you just went through, like, basically 15, 16 years of just schooling every day.
Right.
First, like, don't feel rushed, please. Like, you don't need that stress on you. You just don't. You know, if you want to, go ahead. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's a bad thing if you, like, don't wait. You know, it's just depends on the person, your preference.
And know yourself. Know yourself. Yeah. And don't let norm, like, the norms tell you what you're supposed to do.
Period.
Like, trust your own intuition about your life.
Period. All right. This is, do you think online schooling is pulling our grades down? Someone said yes in all caps with four S's. Huh. That's a big yes.
Strong feeling. Yeah.
Sherry found the online school experience. Someone said calling the teacher a pig. Oink, oink. Okay. That's not really nice.
Like a little mean, though, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. I'm sorry, that just baffles me. What? What is wrong with people? I cannot with these students. Okay. Do you think online schooling is pulling our grades down and are you scared to go to college because of it? Someone said, it really just depends if online school is your thing or not. Yep, pretty much.
Exactly.
Do you think online schooling is pulling our grades down? So yes. Another yes. Share a funny online school experience. When I thought I was talking and my face was in the camera and I was still muted. That's happened too many times.
Wow.
It's like a brain fart moment. It's like, what the heck? Do you think online schooling is pulling your grades down? Yes. Do you think online schooling is pulling your grades down? Someone said, I don't think so. I might have done worse if I've... Okay, I don't think so. I might have done worse if it were not for online schooling. Okay.
Right? There's like, yeah. It seems like, I feel like we have kind of a 2-to-1 ratio. Like, there's more people who are saying their grades are being dragged down, but there's definitely like a steady group of people who are like, I'm more into this. Like, maybe a third of the people or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think online schooling is pulling your grades down? Are you scared of going to college now because of your grades now? Someone said, online schooling is fine. I'm just scared of the amount of work college is going to give. Reasonable.
Mm-hmm. It's a different sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to spend so much time in class. So, like, there is a lot more homework, but you're not, like, in school having to be in front of a teacher for 8 hours a day anymore. That's like maybe 3 hours for that day.
Oh, in total?
Sometimes, yeah.
That's actually great. Like,
way more flexibility with your schedule and classes. My experience is that, like, the way classes would get structured, would they be once a week for 3 hours or twice a week for an hour and a half? And then I'd maybe have 4 total courses that I was taking a semester, right? So, it, like, you could balance your schedule way differently. And, like, I would avoid morning classes. Like, that definitely affected what I was learning, what time of day it was offered. And, yeah, it's a very different. It's much more, and this is, again, where it's, like, there's a huge shift in responsibility that comes going from high school to college, because high school is kind of, they take on the responsibility of your schedule, right? They, like, let you know what's up, and that's it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do a lot about it. Just get there. Whereas with college, you got to be responsible for your own college, your own experience differently. Like, there's teachers who, like, you don't show, and, like, they'll just straight up, like, not check in, and then you'll just get it, like, you'll fail or whatever, you know?
Yeah, my friend's mom works at a college, and she said, like, if a student doesn't come to class, they, like, don't care because they're paying to come in, so it's their choice to come to class or not. And if they don't, it's not the teacher's problem. They don't really care. They're just like, whatever.
Yep. They're like, yeah, you know, like, that's your choice, you know.
Yeah.
I'll focus on who wants to be here. Yeah, it's much more, and it's like, and I think that's important, right? That is about personal responsibility, and, like, yeah, you're gonna pay to be there, right? Like, that's the other piece of the whole college equation is paying to be there and, like, the investment it takes. So
and also I feel like a lot of students would be more, like, willing to take college more, like, more seriously, because you aren't, like, it's not like a drag where you're, you know, like you said, like, you aren't going to be sitting in class for 8 hours a day, so it's not going to be a drag 8 hours a day, then go home and do work for, like, another 5 hours, and, you know, those small hours you're going to be doing thing, you know, you get a like a few days off, so I'd be down for that.
Exactly.
Like,
you know. Yeah.
This says, do you... okay, I just read that one. Wait, I don't feel like... okay. Okay. Do you think online schooling is pulling your grades down? Are you scared to go to college now because of your grade? Someone said, my grades are doing pretty well, but I feel like I'm losing track of what needs to be done by the time I have to go to college. Like, I am not getting enough guidance.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. That's a really important thing too, because, like, that time frame, there is a lot that goes in that schedule to kind of get all your parts lined up to be able to do it. Yeah, it's a definitely. Process.
Yeah.
So, and it would make sense. Like, it's like, is there still a way that people access, like, who did that before in school when you're in person? And is any of that coming online differently?
Well, I'd assume it was the guidance counselors. Right. But they say that you can, like, schedule a meeting. But, like, I don't think anyone's going to put any time into doing that. Because it's not, like, as, like, you know. But, like, I feel like most of it came from the teachers there. Because a lot of the teachers had, like, close connections to students. So, you know.
You know, I do think there's a good number of, like, online, just, I'm sure you can find kind of, like, a reminder of the big things to do on the schedule. You can find one and share it back at your Snap followers.
Mm-hmm.
Little follow-up.
Yeah, I heard you. This is Sherry Funny Online School Experience. When one of my teachers discovered the Google Meet background, he was trying a whole bunch of different ones and getting so happy and excited. It was so funny. Yeah, a lot of the teachers, when they find out how to do something or find something, they get so excited.
Like, that's cute.
Yeah, it's adorable. I'm like, okay. Like, yeah, I did it. I'm like,
that's sweet. That's sweet. I get it.
Someone said, do you think online schooling, okay, not someone said, I'm sorry. I said, do you think online schooling is pulling your grades down? Someone said, yeah, but what can you do? There's some things that you can do, but like, what can you do? It's like, it doesn't extend, you know?
And like, you've been sharing some like things, I feel like, yeah. Even just like, I guess it depends on what it is about. If it is just the fact that it's online, there isn't so much you can do, yeah. I guess.
If it's like grade wise or like motivation wise, there's a pretty vast amount of things you can try doing that I've done. Like I ain't gonna lie, when I was like actually like studying at the beginning of the school year, I was doing like pretty good, but then I stopped because it got pretty like I had like a to-do list and everything, but then I stopped for some reason. My grades just like said like so I'm like, it's not horrific, but it is not as good as it was when I was like actually in the book studying.
Yeah.
Okay, I asked what songs are getting through this. Someone said Alec Benjamin. He's great. And he's a looker as well. Okay. Do you think online schooling is bringing your grades down? Are you scared to go to college because of your grades now during online schooling? Someone said, I'm not scared, but I'm concerned for my grades being horrible. Yeah, I can see that.
Did you want to play one of the songs that somebody shared was getting them through some of the hard times?
Definitely. And that was actually the last question as well.
Look at that.
That was great.
Cool.
So I'm going to actually go with the most recent one. It's from Alec Benjamin. This is The Boy in the Bubble.
It was 6:48, I was walking home, stepped to the gate, and I'm all alone. I had chicken on the plate, but the food was cold, and I covered up my face so that no one knows. I didn't want trouble, I'm the boy in the bubble, but then came trouble. When my mom walked into the living room, she said, boy, you gotta tell me what they did to you. I said, you don't wanna know the things I had to do. She said, son, you gotta tell me why you're black and blue. I said, I didn't want trouble, I'm the boy in the bubble, but then came trouble. And my heart was pumping, chest was screaming, mind was running, air was freezing. Put my hands up, put my hands up. I told this kid I'm ready for a fight. Punch my face, do it cause I like the pain. Every time you curse my name, I know you want the satisfaction. It's not gonna happen. Squared him up, left my chest exposed. He threw a quick left hook and it broke my nose. I had thick red blood running down my clothes and a sick, sick look cause I like it though. I said I didn't want trouble, I'm the boy in the bubble, but then came trouble. And my heart was pumping, chest was screaming, mind was running, nose was bleeding. Put my hands up, put my hands up. I told this kid I'm ready for a fight. Punch my face, cause I like the pain. Every time you curse my name, I know you want the satisfaction. It's not gonna happen. Knock me out, kick me when I'm on the ground. It's only gonna let you down. Come the lightning and the thunder. 6:48, he was walking home with the blood on his hands from a broken nose. But like every other day, he was scared to go back to his house because his pops was home. Drowning his troubles in whiskey bubbles, just looking for trouble. Well, there's no excuse for the things he did, but there's a lot at home that he's dealing with, because his dad's been drunk since he was a kid. And I hope one day that I'll say to him, put down those bubbles and that belt buckle in this broken bubble. Punch my face, do it because I lie.
So that was The Boy in the Bubble by Alec Benjamin. And I kind of like that song. I do. That was actually the first song I've heard from him. And it's very impressive. I like it. I like it. So there's just some like tips on applying for colleges here. And I'm going to read some off. It stems from junior year. I think it stems from junior year to sophomore. So here it says, fall of junior year, make a list of colleges, take the PSAT. So I actually didn't take the PSAT. I think I should have. I was thinking about it. But a list of colleges, I'm a sophomore now. But wait, no, I'm a junior. No, stop. Oh. time flies by. I'm a junior. Okay.
This list applies to you.
So yeah, I want to make a list of dream colleges. I'm going to do, not dream colleges, well, same thing.
Yeah, okay. Dream
same
colleges.
Same thing, yeah.
Yes. And actually, my suggestion would be guess your dream list and then also, like, take a minute and think about, like, a few other schools that, like, balance other considerations, right? Yeah. Like, if all of your schools are, like, have 10% acceptance rates, like, maybe drop a few in there with 30% acceptance rates. Not because you don't think you're going to get in, but just, like, have some different options. Like, yeah. Safety schools, as people call it.
Yeah. This one says, winter of junior year, narrow down your list of schools, find out about finances, register for the SAT or ACT.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a lot. Finances. So, like, okay. SAT. Okay. I forgot I can do that now. The SAT. Okay.
And it's generally, yeah, you choose an SAT or an ACT. And it tends to be regional, I found. Like, the ACT is more popular in, like, the West Coast, I think. But anyway.
This one says, spring of junior year, take the SAT or ACT. Start a scholarship search. Take the APS. What is that? I've never heard of that.
That was the one thing on that list that I didn't know what that was either. So I'm going to go ahead and say, like, probably don't need to worry about what that is. I've, like, never heard of that. Everything else, I was like, that seems right.
This is the summer before senior year. Create common app accounts, APP
accounts. Yeah, that's an important one. So there's this thing called the Common Application, which a lot of colleges use this particular platform for you to submit your college applications. Mm-hmm. And it's useful because you can, like, upload your, you know, things that you use and want, like, and use them over again. So if you create that application, that'll be really easy for you to organize and track, like, which applications you're doing. So that's why that gets set up. That's there cool. Might be colleges that aren't in that, but that's pretty sweeping usually.
Hey, Joe.
But for every school, like, the first thing you want to do is, like, read there, right? Like, make sure you have for each of the schools you want to apply to. Like, be kind to yourself. Like, applying to 8 schools is a lot. You know what I mean? You don't have to do that. Like, sometimes that helps you be more focused and, like, do it really well. But then, like, you'll want to look at what they specifically say on their admissions website about what the application process is.
Yeah, got you. And then it says to visit colleges. I actually visited two colleges. I mean, I didn't really visit it. I just went there and helped my cousin move in. I didn't really walk around or anything.
That's actually cool. Maybe an even better experience, though, because you were helping them move in. Oh, yeah. Different vibe, right?
And that was at UAlbany. Mm. And then...
How was that for you?
It was cool. It was the first time I've ever, like, been on a campus, a college campus. Mm-hmm. I actually went to three colleges. I went to Jamestown College where my brother, he used to go there, and I helped him, like... Well, we, like, walked around and, like, tried to find something he was looking for. That was pretty cool. But the one that I actually, like, went on a tour and stuff was actually with the clubhouse. They took us to SUNY New Paltz. And that was cool.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, visiting and COVID. I bet a lot of places are doing more online offerings now because of COVID, actually. It might be a useful time to be able to, like, participate, and it looks good on your application too if you can say, like, I did an online orientation, or I went and visited, like, I really fell in love with the campus, right? Like, they want to know that you care about them specifically. That'll make your application stronger. So but it's a good time to, like, go online too and just, like, take a look and see if they're offering any sort of, like, online open houses or things like that for schools you're interested in.
This one is fall of senior year. Write college essays. Apply early. Decision around mid-October. Finish all applications by December. Make a list of deadlines and fill out the FAFSA.
Yeah, the FAFSA. Yeah, so that is a... Again, it's one of those kind of, like, universal forms that work for all of the schools you might be. But at that point... That goes with your application, and it's about your financial information. So you'll want to do that with, like, your guardian, family, whoever. If you're working, if you don't have a person you're working with and you're completely on your own, you'll probably want to check in with the school about how you're figuring that out. But it's essentially the information that tells them and informs for them how your tuition level is going to get set. So it's kind of a big deal in terms of getting that comp side of the equation started, right? Because it's a big deal. Obviously, to figure that out. So that's what the FAFS is about. And early decision, basically, a lot of colleges will offer something called early decision, where if you submit your application under what's called early decision, what you're basically telling the school is that you're committing that you really want to go there. That's your first choice if you get selected. And because they have a high confidence that you'll say yes if they take you, it increases the likelihood they'll say yes to you. So it's the sort of thing where if you really do have a top college in your mind that you really want to get into, it can give you a little extra edge if you apply to that college early decision. You can still apply to other colleges too, and none of it's like locked in stone or anything. But yeah, so that's what that's about.
Gotcha. And you also sent me this thing. Oh. Yeah, a little bit. No, you're cool. You also sent me this thing. Someone explaining how to, like... the title is How to Be an Extension Fairy. So one is let your students know it is okay to ask for an extension and give them a due date. Two is ask them to specify when they want the new due date to be. Three is give them one extra day beyond that and specify that it is so they can get some extra rest and slowness in there. Four is thank them for asking for what they need. If they apologize for requiring an extension, say something like, I'm so glad you asked. Thanks for taking such good care of your future self. Sign your email warmingly. Five is, it's okay if this makes you emotional or brings stuff up for you around the abusiveness of hyper productivity. Hope you get some rest and time for self-compassion too. I know you needed it. Look, you are not going to grade all those papers simultaneously. That's a fact. So why not sprinkle some slow time magic in these students' lives? Yeah, that's great. Because a lot of teachers say, like, oh, this is due date, this is due date, have this in by then. But they don't get all the grades until, they probably don't even start grading until, 2 days later. So it's kind of
And, I get that, a deadline is, helpful to some extent for planning, but I think this person's point that they're trying to make in this post is, if you give folks a heads up, then it's still fair, too, right? It's hey, if you ask me, within 24 hours of the deadline or before 24 hours, for an extension, that's a possibility, right? And you kind of plant that seed. And then, if some people take you up on it, then it's not going to throw off your whole life, right? Because like you said, you can't grade them all in one sitting. So if a few trickle in late, you grade those last. And I don't know, I really appreciated it. This is a person who is a professor, college professor. I'm still in college topics, right? So this is their philosophy about how they treat their college students and how they're thinking about that. And I just felt like it was a good message for educators and for students to hear, right? That advocating for yourself to get an extension, or for teachers, right, to be willing to offer that, for us to honor each other when we ask for ways to take care of ourselves and get more help, that's still accountable. I think that's the catch, right? You're still accountable to your teacher if you're asking for that, right? And setting a deadline and doing the communication. That's not the same thing as just blowing it off and sending it in late. But if you do that, right, we can live in a world that feels, as they said in their post, right, that's not that abusive hyper productivity mentality. I thought that was a cool thing to maybe share on this podcast where we talk about school.
Going back over to the songs that they found that brings them through the thing, there was this one that I found yesterday. It's a rock genre, I think. It's kind of good. I like it. At first I heard it, I was like, what is this? And I'm like, okay, it's kind of good. It's kind of good. So I'm going to play that real quick.
Sounds good. Oh,
and it's no copyright. And fragmentate. That's cool. Okay.
Can you say the artist again for me?
I never said it. It's a band. It's called Kitty. Kittie.
Cool.
Yeah. At first I was like, what is this? I don't know. But then it grew on me. That's what happens a lot. Just not country.
Just not country.
All right. I want to play it real quick. Great. There's like an extra minute left of that, but that's the gist of it. I like it a lot. Yeah. But like, yeah, this is towards the end of our time. Thank you for joining me, Phoebes. This is fun being back.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. Yeah, Thank you for doing the self-care for yourself last week, taking it off, focusing on your work. And good to have you back in.
Thank you. And I definitely should be back here next week.
Cool.
So,
you know that next week, I think, is Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Jesus. Okay. Well, I'll be back whenever I'm back. It's definitely going to be on a Thursday, though, you know.
Cool.
So, yeah, thank you for joining me.
Yeah.
So, thank you guys for watching. It was great being here. Just a gist of what we went over today. We discussed, you know, due dates, what students are going through right now, fun moments during school, you know, whether they thought school was hard right now or not. And, yeah, that's about it. I'll see you next week on the SDC podcast.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. William J. Kemble is reporting for the Daily Freeman that the Rhinebeck School Board is reviewing whether to conduct their meetings via live stream. The question was discussed during a Board of Education session November 24th. Superintendent Albert Cousins said the technology needed to broadcast meetings through a common platform should be ready within a month. At present, those who wish to view the board meeting must attend in person or wait for a recording, which is later uploaded to YouTube. The board conducted its meeting on video conference platforms from March to June this year and returned to in-person meetings in July. Although the ability to understand what board members are saying has improved during the past several months, the quality of live broadcast is not always the best. State Committee on Open Government Assistant Director Kristen O'Neill said there is a learning curve that has been part of the move to having meetings live streamed, but boards should have it figured out by now. Quote, they need to make efforts to make sure that people can hear. If they are not doing that, they are not really complying with the intent of the open meetings law, which is to allow the public to listen to and, under normal circumstances, also observe the deliberations and decision-making of public bodies. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Amanda Fries is reporting for the Times Union that the state could save as much as $132 million if the use of solitary confinement was reduced in prisons and jails, according to a report released by the Partnership for Public Good. The report, written by the Buffalo Niagara community-based think tank, found that passing the Humane Alternatives to Long-Term Solitary Confinement, or HALT Act, would save the state and local governments $1.3 billion over 10 years. The finding directly contradicts Governor Andrew Cuomo's reason for withholding support for the HALT legislation. The bill would limit the time a person can spend in segregated confinement to a maximum of 15 consecutive days and create, quote, more humane and effective alternatives, unquote, among other initiatives. Even with broad support among legislators, it did not pass last year after Cuomo claimed it would cost too much to implement. Instead, the governor came to an agreement with the legislature to implement a series of regulations with the same intent as the HALT Act, but with milder changes. Those regulations are still not in effect. Given the multi-billion dollar deficit the state faces due to the coronavirus pandemic, the Partnership for Public Good argues in its 32-page report that the HALT Act should be passed to help save money. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Alila Schneider is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Hudson Planning Board has approved the indoor phase of a conditional use permit for Wild Hudson, a community and office space in development in the building owned by the Galvin Foundation at the South 3rd and Union Streets in the city. Wild Hudson co-creators Hillary France and Lucas Crump do not plan to make physical changes to the structure. The space will offer Wi-Fi, a cafe and meeting room for workers, and a gallery for local artists, a seasonal outdoor market, outdoor and indoor family-friendly activities, and educational and networking events, according to a presentation made to the Planning Board November 10th. The space will be open 7 days a week from 7:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. weekdays and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on weekends. Wild will offer membership and hours in, for the co-working space, France said. The cost of membership was not disclosed. France said they have not been published because there are many components that she and Crump want to make sure work together. The proposal was divided into two phases by the planning board, which approved its indoor use. This allows France and Crump to start their indoor business while fulfilling the conditions of board members who were reluctant to approve the open-ended outdoor use request. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com and read more about these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Watch TV. I used to think that it was good for me. Wanted to know what folks were thinking, to understand the land I live in, and I would lose myself and it would set me free. This is the place where common people go. A global franchise.
is alive.